Okay, this is the second session on prayer, thoughts on prayer, and I want to look at a few things this morning concerning prayer. Again, last time we looked at relationship, and we said that most of the time prayer is lists that we bring to God and not coming to meet and to know Him personally. We said that that's vital. And that if we miss that, then God has become somebody that we use for our own purposes, even if they're good purposes, rather than the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Today, what I wanted to speak for a few moments on prayer is the willingness of God. I think for a long time, my perception of prayer was that God was in a big castle with moats and ramparts, and that if we prayed hard enough and strong enough, and that we might find a crack in the wall and our prayers might get through. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever had that kind of perception of God, but I think for a long time that's the perception that I've had, that persistent and prevailing prayer was because God was not quick or willing to hear an answer. And that somehow we had to break through to God, as far as God having, you know, these barriers up, that we had to break through those barriers that God has up so that we could get close to God and be intimate with Him in prayer. But you know, the Lord has changed my mind about this kind of a perception and began to teach me and show me that there was something different than this in terms of God's willingness to meet with us. While it is true in the Old Testament, it says your sin has made a separation between you and your God so that He does not hear. We have a Savior who has come in the New Testament. A Savior who has come to meet with us, who has come to take the barrier down that was between us and God. So that the Bible says that we can come by a new and a living way. That is through Jesus Christ. And when Christ died on the cross, it teaches us that the veil that was the curtain that kept people out of the Holy of Holies was ripped in two. A remarkable situation in that great earthquake, because this was 2 or 3 feet thick, this veil. It was not just a thin gossamer thing that happened to be torn, but it was almost an impenetrable wall, probably more solid than the wall, a gyprock wall or even a stone wall in many ways because of its thickness and the way it was woven together. And yet it was ripped in two, signifying the way was open into the Holy of Holies. And oh, to grasp hold of this and understand and realize that God is a willing God. Most of the time, we seem to have a reluctance or hardly can believe that we can come all the way into God because we are inadequate. We stand afar off like the publican or the tax collector who's cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the Pharisee came into the presence of God, but he came with his own boldness. He came on his own righteousness, and all he did was pray with himself. You remember the two men that went into the temple to pray? And it says he prayed with himself. And he was not justified because he came in his own righteousness. But the Bible teaches us that we have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that means then that I can come into the presence of God. Listen to this in Psalm 24:3. Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I don't qualify. Do you? But in Christ I do. Why? Because he has imputed to me, he has given to me his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. verse in Jeremiah 23:5 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called." This is a title for Jesus Christ. "The Lord, our righteousness." Hey, that's good stuff. Because we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. And so, I think it's so vital to know this, to understand this. Because when it comes to approaching God, if I don't have this confidence, then I'm going to stand far off. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacles was set up, and there was the outer courts, it was all set up so that you had to get by the brazen altar, and only somebody could go by. The priests that had to make the sacrifices could go this far, and then a little farther, and only the high priest could go into the very holy of holies, and that not without blood, and only once a year could he go for the sins of the people. The way was not open. It was only open to the high priest, and only once a year. But now the New Testament teaches us that Jesus Christ, our high priest, has gone into the heavenly places for us, and he's brought us with him. We are invited all the way in, because Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sacrifice that takes us by that. It takes us by every barrier. It takes us by every wall. The blood of Jesus takes us all the way in.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
When you were saying that, it just made me think of Jesus in the garden, and the Bible says he went a little further.
Mm.
And in the tabernacle, you couldn't go all the way.
That's true.
Jesus went further.
Yes. We can go wherever Jesus goes. We have the privilege, because we're seated together with Christ, because we're united with him, he can take us all the way in. I fear that most of the Christian church stays back. And the reasons why we stay back is because we don't feel adequate enough, that we can't come into such intimacy with God. And here's what we often think: I've got to get cleaned up first, and then I can come. But Christ is my righteousness. And I need to come all the way in, and there God will do what needs to be done. When Isaiah was found in the presence of God, he says, "Woe is me, I'm unclean. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then the coals came from the altar, from the presence of the Lord. I need to get in the presence of God. If I'm sinning, if I'm failing, if I'm struggling, if I'm inadequate, where am I going to go? I need to come into the presence of God, and there I'll be touched, there I'll be cleansed, there I'll be lifted, there I'll be made new. The old hymns carries true not only for the sinner who needs to be saved, but for the saint who needs to know the presence of God. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come to thee, I come." Just the same way. Just because I have to come to him exactly as I am. And so this concept in my mind that I'd had that made prayer the struggle, that somehow I had to break down these walls that God had up in order to get close to God, God has taken that out of my heart. And what it has taught me, what the Lord has revealed to me, is that the willingness of God to meet with me. Think of this. The willingness of God to meet with you. The willingness of God to meet us here this morning in prayer. God desires and is passionate about meeting with us. How do I know this? Well, if I consider a church that is described in the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church, that's neither hot nor cold, as a matter of fact, so lukewarm that Jesus said, "You make me sick." Now, if anybody ever came to you and said, "You make me sick," you wouldn't expect them to say, "But I love you very much." But that's exactly what God says. "Even though you sicken me with your conduct and your ways, I am standing and I am knocking. And I want to come in and have fellowship with you." That's the incredibleness of God. That's the incredible passion of God that's towards us. So when we think about prayer, we are often thinking about us approaching God. And sometimes we're thinking about it all being from our side, as if God was there, aloof, distant, far away, and somehow we had to get a hold of him. We had to connect with him. But we need to begin to conceive and understand what the scriptures actually teach is that God is passionately moving towards us. He comes to us. There are times when we are so stunned and so feeling such failures and feeling so pathetic that we stay in the outer courts, that we won't come in. And yet what happens? God comes looking for us. We see that so wonderfully even in the picture of the prodigal son who says, you know, I will arise and go to my father. But while he was yet a great way off, what happens? The father comes running and falls on his neck and kisses him and pours out the blessing in his life. God is so passionate about each one of us. Do you think about God being passionately in love with you and desiring to meet with you? Do you rise up in the morning thinking, oh, God wants to see me today? God's excited about meeting with me, that he's passionately calling. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. At this kind of a church, surely he's calling and saying, I want to be in fellowship with you. That you're that vital to him, you're that precious to him, you're that much of a treasure to him, that he wants to meet with you. You know, that gives a hopeful heart in prayer. That turns us away from maybe different ways of approaching God. Do you remember the prophets of Baal, how they approach God, their God? Yeah, like they cut themselves, they cried, they did all these kinds of things. And finally Elijah says, well, maybe your God has gone on, you know, on a vacation. He's not around. So, you have to holler louder or whatever. He was mocking them. Our God is not like the God of Baal. He's an approachable God. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And he says for him to take his yoke upon him and learn of him. And here's what he says about himself. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. Huh?
So why are we afraid?
Yes. He says, I'm approachable. You can come alongside of me. When you're training oxen or training horses, you don't want to have the senior horse because you're bringing in a junior horse to put him in the traces and get him used to it. You want a steady horse. You want a horse that's not going to turn and bite the little fella that comes into the traces, or he's not going to learn. You want a horse that's gentle, a horse that's approachable. And Jesus was giving this kind of picture, saying, yoke yourself alongside of me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come, come, Jesus says. Come to me. So he stands at our heart's door and knocks. He calls out to us. He is desirous to be in close and intimate fellowship with us. To know the willingness of God will affect your prayer life. It really will. It'll mean, oh, I can come. I can come with my messes. I can come with my joys. I can come with my sorrows. I can come with everything. Isn't that the way it is if you have a really good friend? A really good friend whom you can trust. When you're full of joy and you have something that you're bursting to want to share with a person, you go and you find that friend, don't you? You call them, you tell them, I got something I want to share with you. Or when your heart is breaking and you just don't know where to turn and you're just so full of sorrow, you go to the same person, don't you? And you say, I got something I need you to talk to you about. And your friend is there for you. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother today. A real friend who's saying, come to me. Come. Come with the hardships. Come with the joys. Come with the sorrows. And I will stick closer than a brother to you. Come to know me. I'm approachable. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. Oh, what relief that brings to the soul. What joy floods my heart to think that this is the kind of God, the kind of Savior that I can come to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it speaks about the veil being removed. Chapter 3, the veil is removed. And that there, in the Old Testament, there was this veil. Moses had to put a veil over his face. The people couldn't handle the glory of God. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't see it. But now the Bible says for us, the veil's been taken away in Christ. And we can, with an unveiled face, behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We can see Jesus with eyes of faith. We can come. There is no guard that's going to say to you today or tomorrow, the next day, this far and no farther. But rather the welcome mat is open. It's open today. So we can come and pray. That thrills my soul. The Lord brought this lesson home to me a few years back. I was in a church and I was doing some special meetings. And the Lord had been blessing. And anyway, it was coming around to the next Sunday. We were having meetings every night. And I think that week, somebody got saved every single night. And the Lord was pouring out blessing. But I wanted the Lord to pour out even more. And so 3 o'clock in the morning, we were staying, my wife and I and daughter were staying in the back of the church building. They had a little bit of an apartment. So that gave me the liberty to walk down into the sanctuary, the church building, and just pray away and walk up and down the aisles and cry out to God. And so around 3 in the morning, that's where I found myself, downstairs, praising the Lord, crying out to God, looking to Him to pour out a blessing. So the first couple of hours of prayer, it felt like I was going through mud. And doesn't it sometimes feel like you're going through mud to pray? Isn't it sometimes difficult to find ourselves in the presence of the Lord? Now I'm going to speak about that just for a few moments, why that is. I used to think it's because God had a wall up and I had to get through His walls. But anyway, after a couple of hours of prayer, suddenly I broke through into the presence of God and all the glory of it and all how wonderful it was to be in His presence. And I was so full of joy. And I had strength to ask the Lord for blessing. But I probably prayed for 10 minutes like that, the glory of it. And then I thought, boy, now it's like 5 o'clock. I got to preach, you know. I need to get a couple hours sleep. So up the stairs I went. And while I was going up the stairs, I was halfway up the stairs, and it was just like the Lord said to me, "Where are you going? You finally got through to me, and now you're leaving. Where are you going?" And I realized the first couple of hours, they weren't really prayer in terms of genuine communion with God. They were getting the clutter away so I could be with Him. And when I was finally with Him, I got a blessing. I felt good, and I was leaving Him instead of realizing this is really what prayer was all about. So I went back down and had a few more hours with God. And those were precious hours. Those were intimate hours. God wants you to be in intimacy with Him. But sometimes it seems to take a while to get there. And the reason is not because God has walls up. It's because we do. It's because we've built walls around ourselves. It's because we have so much clutter. It's because we are so preoccupied with so many things. It's because we don't know what it is to be still and know that He is God. And more in the culture that we're in, busyness is equated with some kind of, even church busyness is equated with some kind of holiness. So that being still and knowing that He is God seems very difficult to do. There's so much that needs to be done. And life is so busy and time is so short. So it isn't that God is unwilling. He is more willing than we are. We have seen that already in the Laodicean church. Someone has said this: true prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of God's willingness. That's something to think about, isn't it? Laying hold of God's willingness. Now I'm going to read you a quote from Spurgeon, and it's a little wordy, like he usually is, but it's profound. If you want to reach to something higher than ordinary groveling experience, look to the rock that is higher than you, and gaze with the eye of faith through the window of importunate prayer or persistent prayer. When you open the window on your side, it will not be bolted on the other. God has an open window to us. He's saying to us, come up here. Come and meet with me. There is a table prepared for you, even in the presence of your enemies. Come, meet with Him. Sometimes it will take time to discover the presence of the Lord. And that is not because God is unwilling or reluctant. It's because we need to break through our own clutter. And God will bring us there. Even there, God comes to us and gives us the grace to pray through so that we might experience God in prayer, that we might walk in intimacy with Him. So there's a couple of thoughts today to hope to encourage our hearts that He is delighted to meet with us today. And if we struggle sometimes in prayer, That's okay. Understand, it's not because God is unwilling. It's just us. And he wants us to spend that time, to take that time, to be found in his presence, and to discover who he really is. Getting our eyes turned away.
So I've often thought, there's a phrase that you said before, I've thought in terms of, I can take Jesus wherever I go,
mm-hmm.
but I've never thought about me going wherever Jesus is.
Yes.
And he's always present.
Yes.
So I can always go to him because he's not far away.
That's right. So near. The scriptures speak about the nearness of God to the believer. And yet unbelief often keeps us from this. Unbelief holds us back from believing that God is here in our very midst, ready to meet with us and to bless us. So these walls can come down. This unbelief can be removed so that we might not maybe have to take 2 or 3 hours just to break through in blessing, but rather to be finding ourselves continually in the presence of God, to cultivate this kind of praying, because God doesn't have the wall or the barrier up at all. Amen.